Jeremiah and chapter 2 for a moment. And if you remember or think about human history, and that's all the history books, and history is recorded as far back as far as God, way back then. And Egypt and all of them, great historical recorders. Now, so here, that's human history. And we're able to learn from human history. And the one of the thoughts, human history, that in all human history, we tend to learn nothing from human history. And we tend to repeat human history. Now, this biblical history, and God has recorded biblically from his window history. And we have that in God's Word. And God's all Scripture is given for us to understand and learn from. And here we are in this part of human history. And in the process, we're able to learn from yesterday in the light of God's Word. And here we are looking at the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is illustrating for us the downfall of the nation of Israel. Now, God, all the other nations, are the different other nations doing good? No, you don't even bother mentioning them. No. But Israel is selected for a number of reasons. And one of those is to illustrate that when you have the best opportunities and privileges, if you don't utilize them, if you don't believe them, then you never have them. And keeping in mind, as we do, think about this, all wonderful, God's wonderful, wonderful creation, God's creation. God has created all kinds of everything that have wonderful, wonderful instincts, animals, birds, bugs, fish. Awesome instinct, as we've shared together. They automatically, without it being educated, automatically can be born, as it were, to come into the world as a new spider and perfectly duplicate the same web that 1,000 other spiders have done without ever seeing one, without ever knowing one. The bumblebee able to go exactly to the same flower. Wow. That's God. But humans are not given instinct. They're given God. So when God is, if the instinct's left out of the butterfly doesn't know what to do. But if the instinct / God is left out of the human's in trouble. The same as the butterfly would be if it had no instinct. So that's what we're looking at. God wonderfully, wonderfully educating angels, good and bad, about his wonderful person. Therefore, in our study of Jeremiah, going, if I can, just to lead into it a little better, chapter 2, and picking up, if I may, in verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed when their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying, all of them, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth. In other words, stones, that's where we came from, stones, etc., from idols, etc. Thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back. Thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. So they're going to look for the system. The system isn't going to work. And ultimately, you're forced, like the foxhole prayer of the military, you're going to cry out to what? What do you say when you don't have any answers? Pray. Pray. What's the last result? Well, there's a prayer. A prayer. Somehow to somebody, for something. Therefore, verse 28, but where are thy gods, the things you're trusting in, that thou hast made thee, that thou hast made thee? You made them in the first place. Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy days, a number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will you plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. Verse 30, in vain have I smitten you, children, your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. I've sent them and you've killed them, etc. Now, having said that, that's the background. And they just are counting on anything and everything, which is what we're trying to remind ourselves. That's what we humans do. We have our systems and our ways, and we want to be recognized as we're somebody. It's hard to be, think how rare it would be for a person to realize apart from God, they are nothing. What is it to be nothing? Who wants to be nothing? No one wants to be nothing. No one does. No one wants to be. So we elevate, that's pride, big I in the middle. That's pride. We got to have pride to survive. Now, having said that, chapter 23. Now remember, as we ended chapter 22, God is put forth in the days of Jehoiachin, but just before Zedekiah comes, and he has put forth how it's going. All the way, it's all going downhill. All four kings are evil. All four kings are of the line of David, and all of them are getting from bad to worse to worse to worse as they're going. So now, and therefore these kings, and they're 23 years of them, actually, thereabouts, 23 years, and in the process, their attitude and their action assures, guarantees, that there's going to be no real hope and no real help. We just read in chapter 2, 26, 27, 28, if you're going to trust your solutions and hope in your solutions, you're going to find that your solutions can never solve the problem. It might look like it, might look like a temporary fix, but it's only for a moment. Therefore, you know your solutions don't work. So here are we looking at, and they have no hope, even though they're hoping. They're hoping when Nebuchadnezzar's knocking at the wall of Jerusalem, but they're hoping. And there's no hope, and no help. Therefore, these four kings governing, showing the demise of Israel. The 10 tribes in the north went 100 years earlier or so into captivity, and now the last two tribes. So Israel is going to be completely buried, and the Gentile nations are going to be on the top. Therefore, we share together that they're going to be judged, and we shared in some length that they, what were they not doing? They were not looking to the David. They're all in the line of David. About the each king, each ruler, each of the people in charge, were not looking to David. They were not like David. And therefore, they didn't know the mercy. What made David mock David? We shared it together. The sure mercies of David, Isaiah 55, 3. The sure mercies of David. But they didn't look for mercy. You don't even read mercy. They're looking for mercy. They're looking for a way to solve their problems. And they are not looking, that's for God, to mercy. And they're not exercising the faith of their father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They aren't exercising the faith, trusting God, They aren't looking to God. They aren't looking for God's mercy. So the two things that they could easily do, and they should know, because after all, the children of Israel, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of David, if anyone should have something to work with, but they don't. They don't have that at all. So having said that, all going downhill. Now, therefore, you need that little background. So remember we shared together when we came to the end of chapter 22 that Jehoiachin, C-H-I-N, Jehoiachin, the next to last king, he is taken captive in 597, Nebuchadnezzar's coming in. He's taken captive with Ezekiel and Mordecai, and he's taken captive, and there he goes, into captivity. And he takes them. So he was only a king in Jerusalem for 3 months, that's all. And God does something different with him than he does with the others. And he has Jehoiachin live 36 more years. 36 more years under Nebuchadnezzar and thereabouts. And he dies in Babylon. Now, that's a point we need to remember, because Zedekiah that follows him is a king for 11 years, and then he's eliminated by Nebuchadnezzar, but not Jehoiachin. And Jehoiachin is alive 36 years. He's the last living king. Even though he isn't in Jerusalem, he is the king. He is the king. So therefore, when you read verse 30, as we shared, 22 verse 30, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper. No man is going to make it to be king, sitting upon the throne of David, ruling anymore in Judah. And so once Jehoiachin dies, there are no more kings, even though he has children, and they come all along and down and down and down, and we follow the line of all the children that come from Jehoiachin, follow him down, and where do we end up with? We end up with Joseph. He's up that line, but Joseph, you aren't in any place to be king. No. Is any of these people king? All the sons? No one else is a king. No one else is a king. There's no more kings. It's all over. That's what I want you to get that thought. If you were back then, Jeremiah is telling you, and pretty quick it's going to be Zedekiah and everything, even though they haven't got there yet, to the end of the burning of Jerusalem. But it's all over. There are no more kings. There is no more future Israel. Now, what would you think? Here's your children, your grandchildren, you're coming along, and it's all over. Now, God... And you're going to deal with it, that's right. So now, God, you're going to help them. When God tells you the realities of life, that if you are in your flesh, it is impossible what? As long as you're in the body without God, it's impossible to what? Please God. That's an awesome statement. There is no way that a human, apart from God, can please him. Period. The bestest, the mostest, the worstest, didn't make any difference. They can't do it. No, they can't do it. It's the end. That's right. You're going to die in your sins. Wow. But is it? What are you saying with Israel about all the rest of us humans? Do you understand, God said, that everything comes to an end. If you're going to leave God out of the picture and you aren't going to look to God, even the best Israel is going to come to an end. But it isn't the end. Ah, Now, God, you're going to lay it right out in front of them so that they're encouraged. How do you encourage the people that have such news? Chapter 23, verse 1. Woe unto you, the pastors, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Israel, against the pastors that feed my flock, people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. The word pastor, shepherd, feeders. And it's talking about the four kings that we're looking at. We just read up the writing, chapter 22, and that's all negative. But God said, listen, all of those are wrong. There's no way to fix it. It's all not good. And thus, therefore, they are wrong. Your kings are wrong. And we pick it up. It means all of your leadership. We read it. I'll do it again to see it a little bit. Over, if you would, please. Over to chapter 2. Chapter 2, if I can, and in verse 8. You'll see it. It's all, who are these pastors, shepherds? The leader, your whole leadership, from top to bottom. Chapter 2 and verse 8. The priest said, where is the Lord? They that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do no profit. So the whole thing is not good. Not going to, chapter 10. You're going to just pick it up as God unfolds history in the pages. And chapter 10, picking up if I can, in verse 21, or you'll see it. For the pastors are become brutish, the leaders, the shepherds, the feeders, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper. All their flocks shall be scattered. It isn't going to work. All the prophets, the priests, all of them we keep reading about are not going well. Chapter 22, we just read it. Chapter 22, picking up in verse 22. The wind shall eat up all thy pastures, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. So now, God, you're telling us that all of these kings, that you're going to judge them, and you aren't going to back off to what we just read in chapter 22. It isn't going to change. No, it isn't. And verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Now, God, you're going to go and scatter them. You're going to allow them all to go into captivity, just like the 10 tribes in the north. That's correct. They're all going to go in captivity. And in the process, and I'm going to go, even though I'm going to do all of that, he said, I'm going to bring them all back again. The recovery program, the saving solution, the message of hope and help is going to come from where? From you, God. Where else can it come from? It can't come from anyone else because none of them, there are no other gods. There are no other saviors. And therefore, God, it has to come from you. And therefore, and by the way, God, you are reminding them that Israel belongs to you. You chose them, Exodus 19, etc. And they're to be your nation. And they're going to be your nation. They're going to get awfully awesome disciplined and chastened. But ultimately, they're going to be your nation in a most glorious fashion. And you can count on it. So you can't be, God, could you dump them and get another nation? No. Because I made a commitment to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I made a commitment to that people. And they, on the saved, remember in the tribulation, you're going to lose two-thirds of them, two-thirds of the Jews, And you got one third of the Jews left at the end of the tribulation to be judged. Wow. So God, you're going to do that. I am. I am going to do. And I want you to know, they're my people, my sheep, my flock. Verse 4, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, leaders, kings, rulers, princes, feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And the word lacking, you want to think of the word lacking, there's no to seek, to find. You don't have to go Israel's history. The nations come in, scatter the people, take them captive, and God's wonderful program for the future is he's going to find all those Jews in the days ahead and bring them back. God's going to bring them back because they all got scattered and taken out. But when God's doing it in the future, no one's going to take a Jew. There'll be no Jew missing when I make a count. Never. I will not lose one Jew. There'll never be a nation or a people to touch my people. They're mine. Now, just hang on to that. Hold your finger here and go over with me, please. And you'll see it and you know it. Over, if I can, to John. John chapter 6. And just to watch it come forth. John chapter 6, if I may, picking up in thought, verse 37, this is our Lord speaking, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him, whosoever, that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm not going to boot you out. You come in, you can stay in. And, verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose what? Nothing. I'm not going to lose any. Now, God, that's true. In Israel coming up, when you're in the kingdom, no one's going to touch Israel. And there'll never be one missing from the head count. Everyone in my son. We aren't talking about being in a nation. We're talking about being in a person. And everyone in my person, I will lose nobody. You know John chapter 10. People will come along and like to take the Lord. Take them. No one can what? Think of John 10. 29, 30. Who can take you? Who can take him out of that what? Out of your hand. No one can take you out of my hand. Who are you keeping him for? The Father. They belong to the Father. It is the Father's will to save them. Thus, verse 30. I and my Father are one. No one's going to take him. No one. Wow, hang on to that. That's an awesome thing. They aren't having it back here in the days of Jeremiah. God is trying to help them be encouraged. There's no question about it. Now, let me even finish that little thing. In verse 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day. And what can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. That's the way it is. No one. Nothing, no one. It's a relationship. Israel, are you understanding it? No. They don't have it. They put it aside. It's so what? I have my work, my home, my school, my family, my job, and I got everything. And we're counting on it. No, that's all temporary, all temporal. It only takes 15 seconds to get sick and real sick. It takes 20 seconds to lose your job. I'm just using stupid illustrations, but see it. Whatever you got, we're counting on it. And we're too counting on it. We ought to be counting on God. And that's what they weren't doing. And they should have been doing it. Now, back over, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, God must cause the recovery we shared together. I have driven them, and I will bring them again, verse 3, to their folds. I'm going to make it all work, but I'm going to do it. No one else is going to do it. So therefore, God, you make a wonderful promise, a wonderful prediction of what you're going to do. Now, God makes that. Israel isn't making it. Jeremiah isn't making it. No one's making it. God's making it. Verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord, as we just mentioned. Now, behold, God, you're going to give us much assurance in the light of your promise, in the light of your prediction. You're going to affirm without any doubt. You're going to confirm when there is doubt. You're going to affirm and confirm. What are you going to affirm and confirm? I made a promise and a prediction. I'm not going to do one thing with your system. I reject it. But, verse 5, behold, the little interjection, behold, it's a word that said, jump up for joy. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Behold. Wow. Wake up. No, get your head up. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So now, God, what are you saying? Well, I want you to be all excited. God said, I just told you what's going to happen, and I just told you I made a promise and prediction, which is a long-standing one, that I'm going to go and do a wonderful thing in the future. Well, how's it going to be? There are no kings. Where's David? There are no king. There's going to be no king. You said there's not going to be any more kings. Verse 5. Now, so God, here we are looking, and they're looking, and they just are saying, wow. So God, you're going to continue to keep on working it out. No, it's a participle. Not going to stop at all. And it's the formula for your wonderful, wonderful program, the wonderful promise, the promise that you made before anything or anyone was ever created, that the Lamb of God would go to Calvary's cross and take away the sin of the world that didn't even exist. And you made a promise. Who was there for it? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The perfect humanity of Christ wasn't there. No, just God the Son. And he made a commitment, an awesome commitment. So God, the whole thing then, that's why we've just been trying to help us understand, it isn't about humans. Humans are going to make it about humans. But it isn't about humans. It's about God. We've shared that 7,000 times. Now, so here's Solomon and all of that. And we know that Solomon, out of Solomon comes Rehoboam, all the way down, and that's to Jehoiachin. He's the same line out of Solomon. And all of that ends up with Joseph, but there's no kings at all. He's certainly of the tribe of a line of David, but he's not a king, no. And God, what did you do? I'm going to go, said God, as you know, we shared last time, up in the light of chapter 22 and verse 30, we shared together that God, what did you do? Well, now you've made a promise to David, and Solomon was your choice to be king. And Solomon failed. He failed. He fell short. He missed the mark. And so did everyone after him. It failed. But, God, what did you say? Well, David had another son, and his name was Nathan. And I took Nathan. And I took from Nathan, and I took his little family, and I took his family all the way down like I did with Rehoboam and that. I took it all the way down, and I ended up with Mary. A girl, Mary, in the line of David, under Nathan. That's what I did. But he's no king. Ah, no, he isn't. But something awesome I'm going to do. Pick it up here. Pick it up. That I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign, etc., etc. And in the process, I'm going to raise him up in that day. And the king is going to go and exercise judgment in a most awesome way. Now, having said that little bit, though, when keeping that in mind, so here we are looking. God, you're going to raise him up. You're going to raise up the king. That's right. I'm going to raise him up, and by way of Nathan, and a king is going to come. Now, keeping that in mind, remember now, Jehoiakim, you don't have to do all that again. The righteous branch is going to come, verse 5. The righteous branch, shoot, it's the word shoot, plant. You need to understand that so you don't think when you read branch. That's a name, God's name for the Messiah. So when you read that, be careful, because people do, and that's why complications come, because branch, a sprout, and we're going to look and say, well, is it a twig? A bush has a lot of twigs, the tree has a lot of twigs, and it's another twig among the twigs. So here's all the people of Israel, and here's another Israelite, another twig among the twigs. But it isn't that. That isn't the word. Maybe it's a branch. Here's all the branches on the tree, and here's the branch. Here's the 10 branches over here and 12 over here and whatever. And here's another branch among the branches. But it's not that. It's not that. Let me help you understand. Because in Adam, think of Romans 5:12. In Adam we all what? Die. Everyone in Adam dies. True? So God, you aren't saying a branch among the dead, a dead tree with dead branches and another dead branch. No, that isn't what the word is. I got to do it very quickly, but look at it just a little bit. Over if you would please. Oh, what to say fast. Ezekiel, that's nearby. All different ways to do it, but do it this way. Ezekiel chapter 16. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, may I pick up the thought? Chapter 16 and in verse 7. 16 and 7. I'm going to read in the light of the context, verse 7. I have caused thee to multiply, how? As the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, etc., etc. Now, do you see the little words? The bud of the field. The bud. It's a field. We got a field that's out there cultivated. The ground is cultivated. And we're looking. What do you do when you plant seeds in the ground? You don't see the seeds normally. The seeds are down below. And you're looking for the little buds to show that the plants are growing. True? Coming up out of the ground, not out of a tree. Let me do it again so you see it. Chapter 17. Thank you. Chapter 17, picking up in verse 10. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind toucheth it, it shall wither, in the furrows. Do you see the little words, three of them, where it grew? That's the word bud. Bud, where it grew, grew. That's the word branch, branch, branch. The branch, the bud. Not a branch of a tree, the sprout, the bud. The bud's growing out of the ground. The ground, the tree's already up, Adam. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come as the last Adam. That's right. Now God, is he going to come out of that tree? No. That's why I have Solomon and no king, Nathan and Mary. Ah, what are you going to do? I want you to know, I'm going to take Mary over in Luke chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1, you would recall. And in Luke chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in verse 35 directly. I'll read verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be, born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Are you going to come the normal way? No. I'm going to eliminate the man. Where did man come? Man caused sin. Adam, in Adam, all sin. Adam is the problem. I'm going to eliminate Adam. I'm just going to take the woman. And I am going to be the difference. And out of me, my relationship, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He's going to come up out of nowhere. Like Adam. Like him. But of the line of David. He's connected to David by Mary. He's connected to me, said God, by my son. That's how he's going to come. Be encouraged. I'm not using your system. I'm not using your plans. I'm not using your genius. I'm not counting on anything from anyone, anywhere, anyhow. I'm counting on myself. I'm counting on myself. Therefore, you ought to be encouraged. You ought to be wonderfully encouraged that I'm not counting on you. Is that all right to say that? I'm not counting on you and me. I'm counting on myself. Well, God, we're looking at our lives over here and there, and we're trying to make it go. And I know a number of people now in different things, very difficult things. You wish you could fix them, but you can't. Can't do it. No. No. But God, it isn't about difficult things, because we live in a body, 2 Corinthians 4, that's perishing. And God, it isn't about here and now, with all the problems and headaches and everything else, the news that's not good news, the news that's difficult news, and all the rest of it. Not good. But, that's all understandable. Are we counting on any solution for Israel, for the people, for your heart, for your home, for your health? Are you counting on anything? Oh yeah, I hope this, hope that. Well, make sure that you aren't putting too much of your hope in what you're thinking. Put all of your hope, leaving you with nothing, in me, said God. That's where I want it. And you're trying to help them. But you know what? History is allowed to bumble along year after year, sometimes century after century. And you'll say, when's it going to get fixed? It will. It will, in proper time, in proper order. All the things have to come together for God's wonderful, wonderful rhyme and reason in what he does and how he does. And therefore, God, we're looking to you. to do and to be to us all that we aren't. And we aren't what we ought to be, and therefore, but we aren't trying to be. I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I just want you, God, to be honored. That's what I want. I want to be able to go, and what are you going to do? Chapter, back to Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And picking up, if I can, in verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David, in the direction of David, a righteous branch, and a king shall reign, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, God, what are you going to do? What was the problem with all these kings? David, what did you do? David, you looked to God for mercy. And if we took time to read, which we can't now, if we did, David sought to do right. David sought to run, judge rightly, and to do it more than Solomon even, and who was given such special talent and privilege and gifts. Wow. So David, you did what you did, I did. And God, you would make all that happen in a most wonderful way. And you would make them, as we read, and the reign, a king shall reign and prosper. Wow. Wow. Now, God, you're not only going to go and be the solution, you're going to go and you are the right one to make the right things happen in the right way for the right reasons at the right time. And you're going to do that, God. I'm going to do it at the right time. He's the right one. What's missing? Rightness. You guys, is anyone interested in knowing, doing things right? Right. No, we have our thoughts and our plans and our wishes to do and want and be ever. But God, from your window, from your word, that's a whole nother ball game. So God, here we are looking, and God, you want to go. You're the righteous branch. You're the right one. And for the right reasons, in the right way, and God, there's just, you're the right one. You're the only God, the only Savior. And God, you're making it very clear. And you want to go and do what? I want the world to be right. Over where you can, over to Isaiah, just to touch it anyway. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. And we can't do much on this, but just to touch it. Isaiah 46, if I can, in verse 12. 46, 12, Isaiah. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, strong, stubborn, that are far from righteousness. You guys are all wrapped up in yourself, and you aren't even close to rightness. Get right. Get over to rightness. Why? Because, verse 13, I will bring near righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. The beginning of verse 13. It's my righteousness that will save you. God, what's wrong? Everything's wrong with us. It needs to get right. That's right. And there's only one person, said God. I am the righteous God, and my Son is going to show and make possible the rightness. And if I don't do right in going to the cross and dying for your sin, you are going to be lost and dead in trespasses and sin. So the right thing for me to do, said God, is to go to the cross. And unless I go to the cross, there is no salvation anywhere. Period. And it starts where? With rightness. It isn't a gift, you poor dear, you're suffering. No, it's the issue of rightness in your life. And it isn't about any of your needs. It's about God's your heart to be right with God. And you can't be apart from God, because He's the righteous one. And you can't be saved unless God does it rightly. You can't know. So God, thank you for doing what? To help us to be righteous. Now, I'm going to do a little different because the time's gone. Over with me, over. I had another thought. You'd like it. You'd be happy with it. Over, if you would, to Romans. Romans chapter 10. So you can just understand the marvelousness of what God has done for you. So when you're trying to solve everything in your life that you're going to understand, you're going to have to look to God. And Romans chapter 10, if I can find it, chapter 10, picking up, if I may, if I can. And picking up in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe, where? In your heart. Believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:4 in that, declares that the Son of God is the right one. The only person ever to be resurrected is Jesus Christ. And his resurrection, God said, I mark him as the right man. He's the right one. My son is. Now, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And God, what do? We believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Wow. That's what we do. And you're going to do what? So where's our rightness? God, it isn't in us. It's in you. Wonderfully, wonderfully in you. Do you do that all the time? You should thank God for it. In all the wrong things. Everywhere. Inside, outside, words, thoughts, deeds, people, persons, places. You got them. Where is it? Everywhere. But. You aren't counting on your righteousness. You're counting on his. That's the righteousness that saves you. That's the righteousness that gives you hope and help. There is no other righteousness. That's why God makes it emphatic in the book of Romans, etc., etc., etc. You understand? There just isn't any. And you can think and breathe and play the games, whatever you want with your lives. People do. But if you want to get right, otherwise you die in your sins. And there is no righteousness. And you can hope a lot and spin the prayer wheels and care. It won't make any difference. Does it?